All right, it's time for us to get started today. It's good to see everybody out here in the parking lot this morning. Can we give Jesus a great praise offering today? Come on. Somebody praise him. Come on, stand on your feet today. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, invite his presence. He's already here. Somebody say, yes, he is. Father, we just pray right now, Father God, that you'll just come and meet with us here today, Lord. We ask you to touch our nation. We pray today for our leaders. We pray for President Trump. Lead and guide and direct him, O God. It is our desire, God of heaven, Lord, that through the Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ, that you will crush this coronavirus, Father. We pray for the destruction of it in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over ourselves, Father God, as your people today. We pray, Lord, that you'll reach forth your hand, Father God, from state to state, bring an intervention. We pray, Father, that revival will break out all over this nation, that you will pour out your spirit like we've never seen before. Father God, visit houses, hospitals, ships, churches, Father God, in those parking lots, everywhere. Anybody is at all, we pray today that they'll come to know Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, have your way today in the midst of us. We thank you and praise you for your presence right now. Thank you for the privilege to worship you. Father, we do so in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Let's worship the Lord together today.
Thank you. Shadow, you won't light up my Before I know, Yeah. seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. With me.
Let's just lift our hands up toward him today. Can you just worship him just for a few moments? Everybody say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Thanks to the blood of Jesus today. We thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Master. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen and amen and amen and amen. Let's give him another praise. Come on. Then we're going to ask the ushers to come. We're going to worship the Lord today in our tithe and offering. So if they will come and you prepare yourselves. We're going to speak the word. I said, man, they're going to have a long distance to go today to take this offering up. Amen. Let's all speak the word together. Say, Father, thank you today. You are the God that supplies my every need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I am blessed. I am kept. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship him in our tithe and offering today. Praise to God today. Amen. We will not be defeated. We cannot be defeated. Today, I really felt the Lord stirred me today. We're going to preach on Psalm 91. So let's go ahead and turn there in our Bible. Psalm number 91. And I believe this is the word of God for every season and for all time. And I hope that you have been trusting and reading this psalm and putting it in your spirit, man, and building your faith around it, because it is a very, very powerful psalm. And we're going to read today. I'm going to read from the Amplified Version today, which expounds just a little bit more than the King James Version. And the Word of God says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely, and in him confidently trust. For then he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Then he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings shall you trust and find refuge. His truth and faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor of the arrow, the evil plots and slanders of the wicked that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor of the destruction and sudden death that surprise and lay waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only a spectator shall you be." Did you get that? "Yourself inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High, as you witness the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place. There shall no evil befall you, nor any plague of calamity come near your tent. For he will give his angels a special charge over you to accompany and defend and preserve you in all of your ways of obedience and service. They shall bear you up on their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent shall you trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he knows and understands my name, has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness, trust and relies on me, knowing I will never forsake him, no, never. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let us pray. Father, today we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is our stability. Father, we thank you for all the promises that you have given to us in the word. Lord, we're here today gathered in this parking lot because we are hungry. We want revival. We have been praying for revival. Lord, this reminds me of Jesus out on the hillsides as he taught the multitudes. They didn't have a building to go in, not even a PA system. Lord, but they came by the multitudes to hear the word, to feel your presence and to experience your touch. Oh God, we ask you to come. Open our eyes that we might see. Pull the veil from our hearts that we might perceive and understand. I pray for that spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you to be given to every heart today. Speak to me, through me, and for me. Father God, to deliver this word in Psalm 91. Father, to speak only that you'd have me to say. So speak to me, through me, and for me today. Father, you know our world is in a great need. And we ask right now for your great mercy. Your great mercy to be extended to every state. Father God, in this great nation that you've raised up. Lord, we do acknowledge that we have turned from you. Our nation has gone adrift. And Lord, still hearts are stubborn and self-willed. And we pray today, God, that Lord, their hearts will soften. Let every eye be open. Let every ear be unstopped to hear the word of the Lord. God, you do not hate us, but you love us. You care for us. You do not want to see one soul lost. It's your will that all men be saved. So Lord, today we pray that you'll reach out through the airwaves and touch lives. Move in this parking lot and stir our hearts. Let our faith be built and receive all that you have for us. Most of all, your protection in this time of darkness and in need. We honor you and thank you for it. We believe it right now. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen and amen. You can be seated or stand or whatever you're going to be doing today. And so I was sitting here. You know, the wind didn't start blowing till I got ready to need these pages to be still. That's usually the way that it goes. But I'll take the wind. It feels good. Psalm 91 has probably helped more people, brought more peace, and built faith in hearts than any other psalm in the Bible. Soldiers have had it laminated, and they carry it in their pockets and billfolds, and it also has been printed upon dog tags, and they wear it around their necks, no matter where they're at. And so we can find it in various places throughout the world. It's one of those psalms that's recited by many who have faced fears and anxiety. And I would probably dare to say that during this time that there's been multitudes of people that have quoted Psalm 91. I know that I myself, and when I'm praying in the morning, will open my Bible and just read it and go through Psalm 91. It reminds God of his promises, but it also feeds my faith and my family's faith. And so the theme of this psalm is clearly established. He gives complete security and victory to the person who dwells in him and puts his trust in him. 16 verses of power-packed promises from the scriptures. In verses 1 and 2, there are three titles given to the Lord besides the personal title of the name Yahweh. The first one is Elyon. It means most high. There's none above our God. Somebody say he is higher than the heavens. Elyon. Secondly, Shaddai, the almighty God, the all-powerful one who occurs some 50 times in the Old Covenant. And it is the name which he appeared to the patriarchs of old by, and they knew him by. And I just want to just say something about this name today, because it is the unconquerable, everlasting, all-sufficient, all-in-all name that his people would need throughout their existence and still need today. Somebody say, I need the name of the Lord my God, Shaddai. And then Elohim, meaning the sublime God. Excellence and grandeur, awe and beauty, admiration, the extreme unparalleled nature of God. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of this God, under his covering, staying all night. And so what the writer is referring to is like right now with this virus that is going around that has so many in fear and seems to be paralyzing states, and there's thousands that have died by it. One of the things that we understand is that God is telling us, if you'll come into my shelter, if you'll intimately know me, if you will give yourself to me, I'll make this promise to you. That under my covering, if you will stay there through the night, if you'll just lodge with me and hang out with me and allow me to be your defense, your protection, me, the Almighty God, I'll take care of you. I think we need to praise him right now that he is able to keep us in the hollow of his hand. So one of the things that this psalm needs to become is our declaration that when you know him as your covering, your protection, and your hiding place, that you will say, and you'll say it loudly to him, the Lord is my refuge and my fortress. He is my stronghold. He is my defense. Are you listening to me this morning? He's my strong place. He's my castle. You see, these benefits are to encourage us and cause us to draw near to him and come into the holy place of our God. The writer of this psalm was probably Moses, because the writer is not identified, but what historians tell us and scholars tell us, that the person who wrote the previous psalm is the one that literally probably wrote the next psalm. And so Moses is a man of experience. He knew what it was to be guarded by God and kept by God and watch the God of heaven hover over his people and to protect them and deliver them and heal them of all their diseases. Moses knew what it was like. So I have to concur that I believe probably that Moses wrote this psalm. See, when you put God out in front, when you put him high in your life, when you stand on his character, the scripture says that he will deliver you. Ancient Jewish commentaries consider that these verses are descriptive of demonic attacks. And so I want to read to you Psalm 91 verses 3 through 13 today. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. And he shall cover you with his feathers, and underneath his wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. And you will not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy right side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. As I read that, if there's ever been an attack against us as individuals and against our nation by the powers of darkness, it is right now. Pestilence, this virus, this disease that is going around. Never have I seen America in the condition that she's in, with so many people that are locked inside and states that are literally being shut down. It's like Monday that our neighboring state, they're saying it's a stay-at-home policy that is being heading forth. I think about the terror that we've experienced since 9-1-1. Our enemies that would like to destroy us, the arrow of our enemies that are constantly assailing us and coming against us. Destruction and wasting diseases. It seems like there's blow after blow after blow that strikes against us and against our nation. We think about the contagious bacterial diseases that are out there, even beyond this coronavirus. Infection of the lungs, pneumonia, pneumonic plague. But he says, 1,000 shall fall at your right hand and 1,000 at your right side, but it shall not come near you. Now I want to stop right there. That's a good place to praise him, but I want to stop right there because I think that it's really important to say some things right here. I want you to know that God loves every single one of us. He cares about every one of us. He's madly in love with the world in which we live. He loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, the Son of the living God. But when you see a world that's twisted and torn right now with all that's going on with this disease that's ravaging not only this nation, but the nations of the earth, I know that lots of people are thinking God hates us. God doesn't care about us. And then on the other hand, there's some that God hasn't even crossed their minds yet. But I want to tell you that God loves us enough that he doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He loves us enough to put the brakes on this planet and cause everything to stop and everything to shut down. When we look around us this morning and see ourselves sitting in this parking lot, who had ever thought last year, 6 months ago, or over a month ago, that this would be like this today? But yet, here we are. You know, I hear some people, even politicians, that make lightly of this and want to say adversarial things toward our president and the leadership that we have today. But I want to make this statement. It is not a time to bite and devour one another, as Paul said. It's a time to come together in unity and ask God for his mercy for our nation. What we need more than anything else is a move of the Spirit of God that would remove the evil from the land and that would bring revival and put fresh breath back in his people again. Understand that God, the God of heaven, he's for us, not against us. And when he looks down from heaven and sees so much idolatry and so much wickedness in the world today and sees that multitudes are headed into darkness, you better believe that God doesn't mind causing a little discomfort just to try to get man's attention. And I'm saying, Father, whatever you have to do to get man's attention right now, that hearts will be turned toward you. God, let it be so right now. I think that our position as the body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, should be a position of prayer, asking God to open eyes, to unstop ears, to touch our leaders, to touch our president, to guide him and to lead him. And to lead our nation in national repentance, because that's one of the things that we need to see. But one of the things that he's telling us through the Psalm 91, he said, I promise protection to those people that will love me with everything in their heart, that will draw nigh to me, and that will throw away the idols, and that will throw away the things that separate between me and them, and allow me to be their God so that they can be my people. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthian church. He said, come out from among them, talking about the world and its wickedness, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you unto myself, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You see, God doesn't want us to get involved in evil and wickedness because he knows the destructiveness of it. And he knows that man's nature is oftentimes to run toward evil and to get involved in wickedness, because wickedness is a contagious thing for the flesh, because the flesh likes to do wickedly. That's why we're told to crucify it. But in Psalm 91, he's promising people that will get on fire, that will love him, that will be his voice, that will exalt him and praise him, and that will live godly in Christ Jesus. He's promising you absolute protection by his hand. Man, when I read that and I read where he will cover you with his feathers, there's something that goes off in my spirit, because when I think about that mother hen that gathers that brood up under her and keeps them safe from the elements and from all the things that could pelt them, she would give her life for them. That's our God. He will cover you with his pinions. He will cover you with his feathers, and in him you shall trust and be safe. Somebody praise him this morning. But I want to go on a little bit further and show you seven promises that God gives in Psalm 91 to those who will do what I just said, draw nigh to God. This is what happens when you live in his presence and when you stay in his presence and in the love of the Lord. So listen to verse 14. Listen to what he says real carefully. Because he, you, me, have set his love upon me, God. This is God talking. Because you set your love upon the God of heaven, to love him, as the commandment says, with all of your heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. When you set your love upon me, God gives his I wills. Man, there's something about loving God that'll change your life anyway, friend. Amen. There's something about saying, Father, I just want to thank you and tell you that I love you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for transforming my life. Thank you for giving me life. Thank you for blessing my family. Thank you, Father God, for your great presence in this nation. And so God gives his I wills. The first thing that he says, the first promise that he gives, listen, this is his oath to you and me. I will deliver him. Me, God, not anybody else. I will deliver you. He says, if you'll set your love upon me, I will deliver you. I'm going to say that again. If you set your love upon him. Everybody look up. If you set your love upon him, he will deliver you. I said he will deliver you. That means that he'll save you, that he will set you free. And I like this, because anytime that the enemy wants to set us up and come against us or trip us up, God's telling us, he says, look, if you'll set your love upon me, this is my promise. I'll head off the enemy. I'll deliver you out of trouble. See, sometimes we may need help and man cannot help us. There's nothing man can do to help us. But God Almighty is able to deliver us no matter what we're in the middle of. Come on. He can deliver from this virus right now, and he can do it overnight. He can do it instantly. And then number two, he says, I will set him on high. Man, I'm particularly partial to that one right there. God said, if you'll set your love upon me, I will set you on high. There is a rock that is higher than I. Oh, yeah. Man, I know that there are times, you know, as a little kid that we used to go out and we used to love to climb to the highest place. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And oftentimes you climb up rocks and you get on top of those things and you can see for miles and miles and miles. And so he says that I'm going to set you on high, because there's something about being in a high place that you feel so safe. Everything else is way down here. It looks like it's just so distant from where you're at. And you can see for miles and miles and miles. And this is exactly what the writer is wanting you to get. Because the rock that is higher than we are is the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. And I love this because in the language that he uses, it means that he will set me out of reach from mine enemies. Oh, come on. How many have ever been in the house when you were little and you wanted to play with the trinkets, or you know that the kids are coming over and you'll go get those little glass things or those things that are so precious that you don't want the kids to break? Are you listening to me? And you'll set them higher up on the shelf so that they're out of reach from the kids. Do you understand what I'm telling you? God is telling you that I will take you and I will set you in the highest place with me, and I'll guarantee you that nothing can break you. Nothing can destroy you. I will protect you. I've got you in that fortified place with me, and nothing the enemy can do can get to where you're at, because you are in the highest place that you can possibly be. The Apostle Paul said, God has set us together in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. The place of authority, the place of absolute power. So he sets us out of reach from our enemies. And I'm reminded, I heard my mentor tell the story one time that when he was overseas, and he said it was a hostile place, and he said the natives were very unfriendly, and he said that they were a very underdeveloped nation. And they came running out and they began to throw spears at him and his associates that were with him. And then all of a sudden, when the spears got right to where they were, it was like an invisible shield went up and those things hit that shield and went down. Do you know what that was? That was the high place. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you that your God, my God, when you set your love on him, says, I will set you in a high place, a protection where coronavirus cannot get to you. I will put you in a high place where the powers of hell cannot get to you. I will put you in a high place where nothing that the adversary does is able to get to your life. Somebody praise him right there for a moment. The high place. You know, oftentimes when you have a desire to pray, I know that I've done this over the years, that there's something on the inside that says, man, I want to get to the highest place that I can possibly get. I know that many years ago, what I would do before I ever got married, I would travel up here to the Blue Ridge Mountains and drive up in the mountain, and I'd find me the highest place that I could get to, because I felt like, man, I feel so close to God right here. Because I'm way up in the air, I can see for miles and miles around, and really the only person up here besides me has to be God. Isn't that the way that we feel lots of times? If I can just get to that high place, can I tell you today that he will bear you up on eagle's wings and he will take you to the highest place? He will protect you in the highest place. He will keep you in the highest place. There is a rock that is higher than I am. You know, it's amazing right now that I know some people feel so fortified within different places, and I'm sure that there's some people that have secret places that they want to go, and there's some people that have tried to escape states, and some people, as we mentioned, have taken planes and flown to other islands. But I can tell you right now, there's no protection in all of that. But there is protection in the high place, the high God, the living God, the most high God. Come on, somebody. When he takes you up to the high places, somebody say yes. I'm reminded of a story that a man told years ago. He was a jet pilot. And then he said he was flying on a mission and his instrument panel went out. And he said he had nothing at all in there. And he said it was nothing. It was dark. He said, I couldn't see anything. He said, I just began to pray in the Holy Ghost. And he said, when I began to pray in the Holy Ghost, he said, all of a sudden the lightning would flash and I could see the mountain landscapes, and I would pull back and pull that plane, that F-16 up, and I would fly above those things. And he said, I was reminded of the psalm that he makes my feet like hinds feet, that I can climb the jagged rocks and get up through the mountainous places. I can get in that high place because there's nothing that can cause me to crash in life when I'm hanging out and living with the Most High God. He has me protected. And he said he had a great distance to go. And he said he prayed in the spirit as hard as he could pray. And he said that every time that a mountain was before me that I would have crashed into, he said the lightning would flash. It was like that the heavens would just open up and I was able to see just like daylight. And he said I would pull back on that stick and my plane would just go right over top of it again. I'm going to tell you right now, my friend, your God is able to keep you no matter where you're at. And you better believe one thing, he will get you safely to your destination in life. He has you covered with his wings, protected by his wings. He has you in his high place so that nothing can get to you. Somebody say praise God. Thirdly, he says, I will answer him. You know, it's during times like this that I know that some people think that God is a million miles away. God, why are you not hearing my prayer? God, where are you? But God is telling us, he says, look, if you hang out in my presence, I will answer you. Silence does not mean God is not doing something. I want to say that again. Silence does not mean that God is not doing something. See, we want to be in control as much as possible. Right now, our world is finding out that it's not in control. They're calling a virus control. But can I tell you this morning, the virus is not in control. It may seem like it is, and it can pretty much do what it wants to do. And it has people confined, and it's dictating where you can go and how many people it can be, and you know how to distance yourself, and it can dictate to you, you know, whether you are, you know, maybe live or die, it seems. And so with all that man is trying to do, and he's doing the best that he can possibly do, and thank God for the wisdom that is being used, but man cannot protect you. Man cannot save you. Only God can save you. I can tell you that if you're talking to him, he's listening. I said, if you're talking to him, he's listening. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee, and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. His eyes are upon the righteous. His ears are open unto our cries. Somebody say amen. He said in the Psalms, Psalm 34, I will be with him in trouble. He's talking about your afflictions, your anguish, your tribulations. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, the writer says in Psalm 34:19, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. I'm telling you that God is listening and he is answering our prayer. Somebody say, how is he answering it? This coronavirus is still in existence. The very fact that you're here this morning in this parking lot tells you that your God has you in his hand, that his protection is upon you, and that he has not allowed the enemy to overpower you and to overtake you. Somebody say amen. That's why I so appreciate today. I don't know what the temperature is, but I'm feeling pretty warm up here. Heat destroys this virus. I say, pour on the heat, Lord. Let the sun shine. I'll take all the vitamin D I can get. Psalm 34:6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I'm going to read that one again. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Can I say it one more time? This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his trouble. Come on, somebody. And see, the thing about that is when he uses the word cry, he's not talking about you saying, help me, Jesus. He's talking about you lifting up your voice. God, come and move in our world. We need you right now. Pour out your spirit. Let healing be released like we've never seen it before. Let our shadows be so anointed with the Holy Ghost and fire. Father God, we're into distancing, but my shadow can at least be anointed enough to heal somebody. Come on. We need the presence and the power of the living God to be poured out upon us. And see, that's the great thing about God. He said, hey, I don't have to touch you, and you don't have to touch nobody to get healed. He said, your shadow's got enough in it to get the job done. Somebody say amen. Somebody say, thank you, Father, for my shadow. He didn't say, I'll not only answer you, but I'm going to be with you in trouble too. That's what he's saying. I will be with you in trouble, number four. I'll be with you. You cry unto me and you see what happens. And then in number five, he says, I will deliver him. He said, I'll take you away. I'll make you fat. Somebody said, I'm trying to lose weight. I don't want to get fat. He said, I'll make you fat. He's talking about giving you increase. And I love this next one. He says, I will arm him. He said, I will give you an army around you. Man, I like that. You remember the story about Elisha and his servant Gehazi? When the Syrian army was wanting to come out and overpower Israel, you remember? And how that here they were. And so when this Syrian king found out where Elisha was, he sent out an army to get him. I'm telling you, the devil gets nervous about God's people, doesn't he? I just believe right now that one of the things that the enemy wants to do is to shut the church down and put her somewhere in a closet, tell her to keep her mouth shut and don't you come out until the storm passes by. But I want to say, look, I know the storm walker. He walks on waters. I don't need to be protected in a bunker somewhere. I have the presence of God that surrounds me. He is with me. He is delivering me. He hears me when I call on his name. He's delivering me from my troubles. And I want you to understand right now, he is delivering me from every evil work. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. When they got up the next morning, the servant got up and he saw the mountains and the hills. They were surrounded by the Syrian army. And he goes over and he wakes up Elisha and he says, what are we going to do? We're surrounded by the enemy. What are we going to do? And Elisha just simply gets up, wipes the sleep out of his eyes, looks up to heaven and says these words, Lord, open his eyes. Can I tell the church right now, open your eyes. Open your eyes. It's time that we realize who we are and who he is. Come on. I'm not talking about being stupid and doing dumb stuff, but I'm talking about having your faith stirred up to the point that you believe what God says in Psalm 91. It's not just a bunch of lovely words that are written down. These are promises that are given to you and I today to learn how to stand in faith against an adversary that you cannot see. Listen, that army may be out there and he may have the world in which we live surrounded, but I have a word for you this morning, just like Elisha did for his servant. Open our eyes. And when the servant's eyes were opened, the Bible said he saw round about him and Elisha, the mountains and the hills filled with horses and chariots of fire. The army of the Lord of hosts was surrounding the other army. Somebody say praise God. God says, I will arm you with an army. I will arm you with the army. And so Elisha says, there are more that be with us than they that be with them. Start counting your army, my friend. You don't only have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but an innumerable host of angels that are surrounding you and guarding you and watching over you. They shall take you up in their hands, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone, the writer says. He is our protection. He is for us and not against us. Psalm 33, verse number 7 says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Man, we used to sing that song. You are my hiding place. I like that. God, you are protecting me from trouble. Though the enemy may be knocking at the door to get in, I'm only answering the door for the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you that right now, that what the enemy does not want out of you, and one of the things that I saw this week, I finally went on Facebook, and which is against everything that I wanted to do, but I went on Facebook and I saw Cassie preaching, and I saw so many young people preaching the word of God. I saw April Hilton preaching the word of God. And I thought, yeah, this is the year of sending forth, and the devil has opened the door for the flood to come through it. Praise God. Oh, somebody say, nothing can stop us now. But I guarantee the devil's gritting his teeth, scratching his head, and wondering what on my God's earth has happened. This disease was conjured up out of the bowels of hell and released in this earth. But what he didn't know is that it opened the floodgates for preachers to rise up. There's a generation of the upright that is on the rise that God has been raising up for years now. That are saying to us, we are not going to be silent. We are going to stand for truth and preach the uncompromising word of truth. Somebody say amen. And so what an hour. God says, I will arm you. And he has armed every single one of us. We have the armor of God. We have an angelic host. We have God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have one another. We have all that we need to conquer. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. And then sixth, he says, I will honor him. What a word. Literally what he's saying, I'll put my glory on you. Can I tell you, Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. Don't let the confinement of you not being able to go to your restaurant are you not being able to go to your favorite shopping place or shopping mall, or to take that trip to the beach or the mountains or wherever that you wanted to go? Don't get upset about those things. But understand right now, it's important to not grow weary like the enemy would like for you. He wants you to focus. I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't go here, and I can't go there. But I'm telling you right now, you can go and preach the word of the living God. You can tell somebody about Jesus. Somebody say, well, I can't get out in public. There's a phone book in your house, isn't it? Open it up and just say, who am I going to call today? Boom. Find that name and call them. Say, I just wanted to let you know I'm sitting here in my house with nothing to do, and I thought about you. Well, see, you don't know me. Yeah, but my finger found you in the book. My finger found you. Get on the phone and tell them about Jesus. Somebody say amen. See, there's all kinds of stuff that you can do to keep yourself occupied and busy. The devil will be trying to come up with something to heal people if we start doing this stuff. Are you listening to me? He will do anything he can to stop the church. And if this thing's been conjured up by him, it sure didn't come from God. He'll do everything he can to get people healed. He said, I will honor him. See, there's something about when you love Jesus. I think about those who gave their lives, those men and women of God and children down through history. I think about the ones now, you know, that are incarcerated somewhere and have been persecuted. Many have been put to death. But I think about this word that he gives. He said, because you set your love upon me, I will honor you. I thought that one day they're going to stand before God and he's going to give them a crown of righteousness and a soul winner's crown. And he's going to have them up and he's going to tell everything that they did before all the multitudes of heaven that are present. He's going to honor those that love him. But I can tell you that he also honors people in this life that love him. He recognizes them. because God allows blessings to come your way and does things for you when you're committed to Him that normally just do not happen in life. He opens doors, gives a blessing, does something for you to be recognized. That's God saying to you, I will honor you. But I can tell you right now, what we long to hear more than anything else is that one day when we stand before Him, He honors us with saying, well done. Can you imagine what that's going to be like when you stand before the Creator of heaven and earth? When you look at Jesus, the scars in His hands and in His feet, and you see the myriads, the millions of others that are round about us, and He calls you out and calls your name and honors you. Wow. I will honor that person that sets their love upon me. So don't get angry at God right now. Just begin to turn it around and say, Father, I thank you for the opportunity to preach the gospel, to love somebody, because in doing so, I'm loving you. I'm bringing glory to your name. God will recognize you. And then the seventh I will that God gives out of this psalm, He says, I will satisfy him with long life and show unto him my salvation. I love that verse. I will satisfy him with long life. We don't deserve it. We haven't earned it. But God is telling us, He says, if you set your love on me, if you'll topple the idols, kick out the false gods, and stand against the evil and the wickedness that's in this world, and tell people about me and just show that love for me. This is what God says. I will satisfy you with long life. What's He talking about? He said, I'm going to give you life to the point that you won't be decrepit and have to be carried around and nursed. Are you listening to me? He says, I want to put you in a place where my life, my abundant life, my super abundant above and beyond life is with you always. Somebody say amen. That when it comes down time for us to die, that we don't just are diseased and riddled with sickness. Now listen to me. He's telling us, He said, that you can lay down and give up the ghost. Thank you for that one hand clap. I don't want to wheeze for my last breath when I'm dying. If I'm going to go, when I go, I want to go saying, praise God, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I've finished my course. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness that the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me, and not to me only, but all those who will live godly in Christ Jesus. I will satisfy you with long life, and I will show you my salvation. See, this is important because so many times when we hear the word salvation, we only think about being saved. That is an inclusive word. God says, I'm not only going to save you, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to deliver you. I am going to give you health. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to prosper you. All of those things are bound up in this word, this one single word. And this is what God promises us right here. He says, for those who set their love upon me, I will show them my salvation. What's he saying? You'll be a walking demonstration of the promise of what it really means to be born again. Somebody say amen. Don't go through life depressed and beaten down and listening to everything that your adversary says. Don't allow yourself to become under the gun by him and shoved in a corner somewhere. And all you do is you're just waiting. You know, when the sun goes down, you're waiting for the sun to rise the next day. And you're saying, woe is me. I just wished I was dead. I don't even want to be alive right now. But be that person that is in love with God to the point and loves him so much that he is showing you his salvation. Come on now, that you can take the worst of any circumstance and say, this is the greatest day of my life. life because God is showing me his salvation, because right now this does not have control of me. I have control of it. It does not tell me what to do. I tell it what to do. Come on. I'm going to make lemonade out of the lemon that's been given to me. I'm going to live to praise his name and to exalt his name, not be shoved somewhere and kept silent by depression or heaviness that may be in life. But I am going to live and love him so that he can show me his salvation. Somebody praise him this morning. And so Psalm 91 is given to us so that we will understand. It's not just something you get up in the morning and you just read through it. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, say, the Lord is my refuge and my soul, and on and on and on. You don't just get it and go through that, but that you get the revelation. Oh my goodness. If I set my love on him, if I love him, if I just love him with everything within me, I've got seven I wills. Now I'm closing with this. Do you understand that when God says, I will, I'm going to say that again. When God says, I will, it is an oath. Do you understand that God cannot go back on his oath? I'll say it one more time. Do you understand that God cannot break his oath? When you see I will in the scripture, it is the strongest assertion of God's truth that he can possibly give. In other words, he's saying this: it would be easier for me to die and not exist than for that not to come to pass for you. Because what I say is eternal. And I'm thinking, man, what a deal. See, it makes you want to love Jesus, doesn't it? And that's what this whole psalm is about. Man, if you set your love, if you just love Jesus, if you just love him, love the Father, just love him with everything that is within you, you get every promise in the book. He said, I'll take care of your enemies right in front of you. You'll tread upon the lion and the snake. You'll kick it out of your path because you have authority over it. Isn't that what Jesus said? And so we're going to take that psalm. I want you to take it, read it today when you get home. In the morning, get up and go through it and begin to just love God that he's given you seven I wills at the end of this thing. He says, if you'll love me, this is what you get. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you right now, it ought to cause you to jump up in your house and run around and dance and praise God for his good promises. There has not one of them failed. I want you to stand with me right now. I want to encourage you today, you know, that you may feel forsaken. That's the devil. God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You may feel, what's the use? That's the devil. God says, don't you grow weary in well-doing. God promised you and me. He said, if you will love me, just love me, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. And I can't break it. I can't break the will. So right now, Father, I pray over these today, Father, that are in this parking lot. God, I thank you for my people. I bless them in your name, Jesus. And I say, may the Lord bless you. May the God of heaven bless you. May the God of our salvation keep you. May he be gracious unto you. His grace be multiplied in every way to you. May he lift up his countenance to you. The brightness of the image of who he is shine upon you and in your face. And may he grant you peace. peace that cannot be broken, peace that cannot be shattered, peace that cannot be overcome. It passes all understanding and it keeps your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Father, I pray today for anyone who may not know Jesus. They're afraid, they're fearful, but you have said this in the Word. Come unto me. Come unto me. Every person fearful, afraid. Every person that's in darkness. Every person that's burdened. Come to me. Bring me your burdens. Bring me your fears. And I'll give you rest for your soul. Pray this prayer with me today. Father God, thank you for Jesus. Today, we confess he is Lord. And Lord Jesus, wash me from every sin. Cleanse me from every sin stain. Sanctify my life. Make me whole. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for life. Thank you for your promises. And I confess your Lordship today. You are Lord. Thank you for setting me in the highest place so that my enemy cannot get to me. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for Psalm 91. Amen and amen and amen. 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 Let's give him a praise today. Amen. What a beautiful day. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. We'll be live streaming Wednesday. So tune in, hear the word of God. And next Sunday, we'll be right back here. Unless God drops a healing bomb on America. Bam. And I want you to pray this prayer. Listen, I want to remind you of this. The scripture tells us that Jesus is Passover lamb. When they applied that blood to the doorpost and the lintel, the symbolism is a cross. When they applied that blood, death could not get in. Plead the blood over your doors, over your life, over your family, over your kids. Plead that blood and ask God for his seven I wills, okay? God bless you. I'll talk to you Wednesday.